week here at Davis Memorial Presbyterian Church, and I just want to run down what that week looks like. I understand today that there's still an outing, but it's changed a bit. Not going to Blackwater Falls Resort anymore. We're going to go bowling. So look forward to that. On Wednesday at 7 o'clock, it will be our joint Ash Wednesday service. At 7 o'clock, you're invited to come to Holy Trinity Lutheran Church for our Ash Wednesday service and communion. World Day of Prayer is on Friday. Buckwheat breakfast, the last one of the season, is this Saturday here at the church. Community cupboard, there's an announcement there about that. And then next Sunday is a big Sunday for us, where we have lunch together after church in honor of the Starcher family as they prepare to move on in their ministry. And so plan to be with one another next Sunday. Stay for lunch, and let's celebrate our ministry together with Kevin and Chrissy and Levi and Laurel. Then, continuing on, beginning our bread and broth series begins. The book by Richard Rohr, Falling Upward, is available in the White Chapel. If you haven't already picked one up, you may do so out there. Are there other announcements that need to be made this morning? Oh, there you are. There's one. Jenny Simmons.
I think for tonight, when we meet at 5:30 for bowling and pizza, we'll probably just all go to the bowling center. And if someone would need a ride, they could contact me or Kevin. And this Wednesday, Peter mentioned the Ash Wednesday service at 7 at the Lutheran Church. All the youth or anyone else who would like to come, we always meet at the Chinese restaurant at 5:30 for dinner, and then we head over to the Lutheran Church for service. So hope to see everybody for Chinese, and then we go for our Ash Wednesday service at 7.
Thank you, Jenny. Chinese and then Ash Wednesday service. It's a tradition. Other announcements? Grateful to Mike Bell, who's our liturgist today. I just about left you out, sir. There will be a fellowship time hosted by the men of the church after our service today, so stay today and enjoy a time of fellowship. Let's now prepare for worship as we prepare our hearts and worship God together.
Jesus Christ. Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship as printed in our bulletin. As God called to Moses from the mountain,
we are called to be God's people.
As Jesus called the disciples to climb with him to the peak of another mountain,
we are called to follow wherever he leads.
As the disciples stood in awe at the sound of God's voice,
we are called to worship and wonder and praise.
Please bow for our opening prayer. O Holy One, on mountaintops and valley floors, you reveal to us the light of your love. Our hearts desire to bask in this amazing glory of the divine presence. With each encounter, we are changed and transformed. Draw us nearer that we might receive a double portion of your Holy Spirit. Help us, O Holy One, to live our lives as a reflection of divine glory. May we walk among our brothers and sisters as a blessing, bearing light into dark places, hope to displace despair, and love that casts out hate. Our world is hurting, and we pray that we, the followers of Christ, may follow more closely. Amen. Please join us in our opening hymn, number 12, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Friends, as we gather, I have some bad news and I have some good news. Let's go with the bad news first. We're all sinners. In fact, Scripture says if we say that we don't have sin, the only person we're really deceiving is ourselves, and the truth isn't in us. But Scripture also says this, which is the good news. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, the God who loves you, will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in a spirit of humility, as these loved, beloved people of God, the sinners that we are, let us pray together our prayer of confession. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Mercy upon us, Christ.
And here's the really good news. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is that the kingdom of God is at hand. And even though we are sinners and broken and dependent upon God, God loves us so much that He formed you in your mother's womb, creating you fearfully and wonderfully made. And in spite of all this sin in this world, God gave us the law and the prophets so that we could show the rest of the world how the people of God are supposed to live. And when we couldn't live up to the law and the prophets, God loved us so much that He became one of us in the person of Jesus to know our pain and our misery, to know our beauty and wonder. And when us sinners put God on the cross, Jesus Christ, God loved you so much that He died for you. God loved you so much that He rose for you. God loves you so much that He reigns in power today, right now. And at this very moment, God loves you so much that He sits at the right hand of God the Father and prays for you. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is this. You are loved, you are forgiven, and you are shown the pathway to eternal life. Amen. Since we have this wonderful love that is freely given to us in Jesus Christ, we're called to be terrific stewards of that love, which means that we share it with our neighbor. So let's practice in worship sharing peace and love by looking our neighbor in the eye, extending your hand, and saying, "May the peace of the Lord be with you." And we respond by saying, "And also with you." Share that with your neighbor. Friends, this is the time in our service where we invite our younger participants to come forward and to listen to the Bible being read And today is a really special day, but we're going to have to wait till after we hear God's word. So let us, all of God's children, give our listening ears to Mr. Mike as he reads to us from the Bible.
Today's reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. You may follow along in the Pew Bible on page 17. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up, and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead."
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We have a number of young friends with us today, and we like for everyone to know who's with us. So I'm going to start on this side like I normally do. Miss Kate, could you tell us your name today?
Kate.
Mr. Everett, what's your name, buddy?
Everett Baber Garver Daniels.
Everett Baber Garver Daniels, we're happy you're here. And then there's Miss Addie back here.
Lily. Astrid.
Can you say your name again, Laurel? Just once. What's your
Levi
name?
Levi Baber. I mean,
Is it Levi Baber Garver Starcher?
No.
What's your name?
Levi David Starcher.
Levi David Starcher. Then we have some big kids up here. Thanks for coming up.
Kaylee.
Anna.
Jackie.
Miriam.
So today is this really special day for two of us. Can anyone tell me who's wearing pretty white dresses today? Well, your dress is very pretty, Laurel, but yours is yellow. Astrid, who's wearing pretty white dresses?
Kate and Addison.
Kate and Addison. And does anyone know why Kate and Addison are wearing pretty white dresses?
It's their birthday.
It's their birthday? Very close. Your birthday is tomorrow, is that right, Kate? It is very similar to their birthday. What are they doing?
They're getting baptized.
That's right. They're getting baptized today, which is when we celebrate them being part of our family at the church. So can I have all of us, and maybe our big kids can help us, come sit over here on this pew. And I want to invite Kate and Addie's mommy and daddy to come forward. Kate, can you tell me who your mommy and daddy are?
Dustin and Tristan.
Justin and Kristen Terry. The parents of these beautiful children, and we are so happy you're here. My friend Peter and I are going to say a few words, and then we're going to pour some water on you as we talked about. But let's give our listening ears to Mr. Peter as he starts us.
Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am at the close of the age. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus, and sure of his presence with us, we baptize those whom he has called to be his own. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to forgive our sins and has joined us together in the family of faith, which is his church. He has delivered us from darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to be our Father, and to welcome us as brothers and sisters in Christ. Know that the promises of God are for you. By baptism, God puts his sign on you to show that you belong to him and gives you Holy Spirit as a guarantee that sharing Christ's reconciling work, you will always share his victory, that dying with Christ to sin, you will be raised with him to new life. Justin and Kristen, in presenting your children for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and show that you want your children to study him, know him, love him, and serve him as his chosen disciples. Show your purpose by answering these questions. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, and do you trust in him? Yes. Do you intend your children to be his disciples, to obey his word, and to show his love? Do you? And to you, the congregation, our Lord Jesus ordered us to teach those who are baptized. Do you, the people of the church, promise to tell these two sisters the good news of the gospel, to help them know by your fellowship, to strengthen their family ties with the household of God? If so, answer, we do. Let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, promise, and the sacrament, and for the hope we have in your Son, Jesus. As we baptize with water, help us baptize us with the Holy Spirit, so that what we say may be your word, and what we do may be your work. By your power, may we be made one in Christ our Lord in common faith and purpose. O God, who called us from death to life, we give ourselves to you, and with the church through all the ages, we thank you for your saving love. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, Miss Kate, since tomorrow is your birthday, and there are two of you who are here to be baptized to celebrate this wonderful thing today, would you like to choose who gets sprinkled with water first? Would you like to do it first? Or would you like Addie? Addie? Okay, to watch. And then there's Addie running away. Addie, can I pick you up, sweetie? Okay. This could be a good lesson for us today. Addison Terry, you beloved child of God, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Oh, let's give you back to your mommy. Mommy solves everything. Addie, that's a terrific perspective, because we can scream and we can cry, but you know what? God loves us anyway. So thank you for that lesson. And Miss Kate, do you want to touch the water? Water is a reminder that God loves us so much. So every time we think of water, we can be reminded of God's love. So Caitlin, Terry, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for these two beautiful children that you formed and created for the healing of this world. Bestow upon them now in this moment the reminder of your love and terrific grace in their lives. We pray for Justin and Kristen, that they may be faithful parents who teach their children ways of love and peace and hope and forgiveness and mercy, those ways that we attribute to our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us as a congregation, O God, that we may teach these children and all of our children the ways of you. And may we all remember on this day the baptismal covenant you have placed upon us all, that regardless of who we are or what we do, in our baptism we know that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Caitlin and Addison, you have been marked by the by the waters of baptism, and you are sealed in God's love forever and ever. Amen. Let's welcome Addie and Kate into the family of our Lord. We have some certificates for your mommy and daddy to remember this very special day. And thank you so much for being the person God created you to be. Thanks so much. Let's give them another round of applause. For our children, wasn't that really special? Oh, Addie and Kate are so pretty and formed by God. Today is a special day. So if you see them in the nursery, I don't know if they're going to hang out with their family or not, be sure to tell them we are so happy for them today. Thanks for coming up to witness this. Are my favorite days, and you may have heard my voice crackle a little bit because I get so emotional reminding parents and telling children that they are marked with God's love forever and ever. It's really wonderful. It reminds me of the days when I baptized my own children, Levi Baber Garver Starcher, or whatever he wants to call himself, and Laurel Ann. And for all you parents in the crowd, I think that you understand this, is that you see your children, you want them to know God's love, and you want your children to be the best they can be, right? It's part of the fabric of the DNA that God put in us. We want the best for our children. And if we're good people of faith, whether we have children or not, our goal is that we want everyone in the fellowship of believers to live up to their God-destined fulfillment of who they are and who God has called them to be. So I think of Justin and Kristen as they're taking their children up to the nursery, and the emotions that may be going through them right now. Baptisms are beautiful days because they remind us of the reality of God's love. And I speak as a fellow parent of a 2-year-old and 4-year-old. Even though I'm a pastor and get this God language, sometimes I can get caught up in the ways of the world, right? So not only do I want my children to know the love of God, which is the only ultimate reality for our children as believers, but sometimes we also want them to be the best in school, the best artist, to get really good grades. Sometimes we want them to be the best swimmers or soccer players. So we will go out of our way to ensure the success of our children. Indeed, it often feels like as a Christian parent that the world places all of these expectations or demands that sometimes I succumb to. And I want my child to be a good Christian on Sundays when we choose to come to church. But sometimes I really desire for them to be the best that they can be at whatever it is that they choose to do. I say all this as the preface that I only have 2 more Sundays with y'all. You're having a big party for us next week. Awesome. Please remember that I'm going to be here on March 12th too. Tangent, the truck is going to be loaded on Saturday, March 11th. We're going to stay in a hotel here in town. We literally want to leave with your prayers on March 12th. So I'll preach, walk out the door, and leave with your prayers. So that's our expectation. Love for you to join us on March 5th, March 12th. But I only got 3 more weeks to be with some incredible people I love. So I was thinking about what am I going to preach on these last 3 weeks. Peter has graciously allowed me to preach next week too, because there's a lot I want to tell you in 3 weeks. I was really tempted to do the following sermon series. What you can preach about when you're not in fear of getting fired. Maybe I could step on a lot of toes, tell y'all how it really is. That would be fun. I just don't think I can do it because I love you. And I hope that every time that I preach, that I'm sharing truth of God. Because that's what it's about. It's not about stepping on toes or scaring people or saying something provocative. It's about sharing the realities of God, the reality of life. As a parent, I can get distracted by the unrealities of life. For I know that my kids are not going to grow up to play Major League Soccer. It's a nice dream of mine, right? But reality, they're not going to do it. The world puts so many expectations, not just on parents, but on all of us as people, that it's really easy to forget about the reality of God and God's claim on our lives. So, Justin and Kristen, thank you for this opportunity to remind us what is really important as we consider baptism. Instead of what I can say in not worrying about getting fired, there are three things that I want to share with you over the next 3 weeks that I just, like, as your fellow sojourner in this journey of life, that if you've known me and loved me, three things that I have taught you about God and about life. And this week is this. Beware of the trappings of this world. Because it's so easy for us to become distracted by what the world desires for us or expects us to do, and to forget about the claim of God upon our lives. I would love to be the best pastor in all of West Virginia. And when I go to Idaho, the really selfish part of me desires that I'll be the best Presbyterian minister in all the state of Idaho in the Mountain Time Zone. My sense is that for many of us, we desire to be the best in this competitive spirit in which we live, the best art teacher, the best business person, so that the world can look upon us in awe and wonder and say, wow, how great is Kevin Starcher? I know that as a minister, I sometimes experience those vain, prideful, sinful feelings in my own life. Speaking of the church, I know that this church wants to be the best church in Elkins. We would love to have these pews filled. The vainful, prideful part of me wonders, why is there no one sitting in that section today? Glad that this side is full. We love it when people come to our church and they think of the Presbyterians as, wow, they have Kevin and Peter and we're doing great stuff. Yay for us. We talk about it in session meetings. We talk about how we can be the best church in Elkins. We would love to be bright and flashy so the world sees us. You know, we come to a story that Mr. Bell read for us in our scripture reading today about being bright and flashy and being with Jesus. Being the best we can be. There are some things from this story of the Transfiguration that I think are helpful for us as we think about ourselves, our relationship to God, and being aware of the trappings of the world in which we live. The world wants us to be bright and flashy, to be popular, to feel really good about ourselves. Let's see what we can learn from Peter, James, and John as they went up to the mountaintop. Verse 2 in chapter 17, after they had gone up to the high mountains, there were three of them and Jesus. Matthew says, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white,
And on my really pride-filled, sin-filled days, I too want my clothes to be dazzling white and my face to shine and say, people, look at me. I'm the best Kevin Starcher that you'll ever find. But notice whose face is shining from the scripture. It wasn't Peter, James, or John. It was Jesus' face. There is a popular book written, oh boy, I'm getting old, maybe 15 years ago at this point. Rick Warren penned a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. And I think the book is mediocre. If you've read it and found good stuff, that's great. But the first chapter is like some of the best theology that you'll ever read. If you haven't read it, I recommend The Purpose-Driven Life, Chapter 1. And the title of the chapter is this. It's not about you. Life has never been about you and what you can do. Because as Christians, we know that without God, we can do nothing. It is only because God has loved us and empowers us and animates us that we can really do anything in this world. But you're saying, wait, Starcher, I know a lot of Christians who go out in this world and do wonderful things and magnificent things. In fact, you don't even need to be a person of faith to do wonderful things. If we look at the ways of the world, that can be true, right? You can be an amazing sports player, using the gifts that God has given you to do things without ever recognizing God in your midst. But more to the point, if we look at the leaders of our nation, and I'm not talking about blanket Republicans or blanket Democrats, right? But just look at the state of our nation. We have elected leaders among us. Sometimes they will say to get votes, oh yeah, I love God. Sometimes they really mean it. I don't know. That's between them and God. But if we were a nation that really valued and looked to God as the source of life, would we really be having debates about destroying the environment? Would we really be having debates about who has access to health care or not? Scripture says this, the wages of sin is death. It does not say the wages of sin helps some and doesn't help others or makes it feel bad. The wages of sin is death. And you don't need to be a Republican or Democrat or socialist or whatever to know that we see death in our culture all around. Destruction of the environment. The destruction of physical lives, the destruction of spiritual lives as we succumb to nonsensical political debates in our midst. We know the dying of the spirit of our American culture. We see that all around. And where does that come from? From sin, from believing that my party can shine or it's my light that shines. No, friends, beware of the trappings of this world. It's never your light that shines. It's always God's light that shines. And any gifts or resources that have been given to you shine when they are a reflection of what God has done for us. Beware the trappings of this world who tell you that, oh, you can shine all on your own. Beware. Another lesson that we can take from the Transfiguration story is this. Peter, James, and John witnessed something transformative in their midst. In verse 2, when Matthew is talking about what happened, I'm pretty sure that he's writing in metaphor. His face shone like the sun and his clothes became dazzling white. I'm almost convinced, because I've had a few spiritual experiences, that it was something that's almost unable to articulate, and yet we struggle to put the pen or the words to what is actually happening. Peter, James, and John witnessed something amazing. It wasn't their light, but they witnessed something amazing. And I've been with many of you for so long have been with myself to know that we would love to see something amazing, that God would do something incredible in my life to take away the pain and the hurt, or to be the best that God has intended for me to be. How did they experience that day? Because these are the same disciples who are just like me and you, sinners, bumbling, trying to figure out exactly what Jesus was doing in their midst. Peter, that wonderful disciple who has this amazing experience, is the same one who would go on to deny Jesus at the crucifixion. These are not perfect people. These are not people who do it better than us. Those disciples are just like me and you. So how did they experience that incredible event on the mountain? They kept showing up. It wasn't anything that they did special in their lives. They were just mesmerized by the person of Jesus, by his message, who said, "I'm calling you to eternal and abundant life." They just kept showing up. Now, one of those things that I could say with the verge of getting fired, but since I'm leaving, you can't fire me, is this. How often are we showing up, folks? And I'm not just talking about to church at 11 o'clock on Sundays. I think that's really important, right? But how often are we showing up to our prayer time at night by ourselves saying, "Lord, I need your help"? Or opening the scriptures to find the words of eternal life. The difference for Peter, James, and John is that they kept going back. Even though they were messing up in their whole lives, they kept at it. And I wonder if some of us Presbyterians are visiting today need to remember that we can experience these wonderful moments of God that God gives to us if we just show up. And again, please hear me. I think many of you know that the spiritual life is way larger than this hour of worship on Sunday. But hopefully you get my drift as we consider God in our lives. How many of you are you showing up to what God is doing out of God's abundant love? Friends, I encourage you to beware of the trappings of this world, because this world wants you to be the best tennis player or best preacher, making you believe that you might even be able to do it all by yourself. And if you show up to church twice a month, boy, that's really good. Beware of the trappings of this world. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you worried about just the next few years that you have? Or is God really speaking to you, saying, "Oh, child of God, you are beautiful and wonderful, and in your baptism I have destined you to a life full of abundance and hope"? Are you listening to that voice? I encourage you to show up and just see what God can do for you. And my last point is this. They weren't able to stay at the top of the mountain. They wanted to. They wanted to build some tabernacles. They said, "This is really good. There's Moses. There's Elijah. We'll build some dwellings for you. We'll stay up here." But God called them back down the mountain. To a world filled with pain and tragedy and fear, anxiety. The world in which we all know so well. Friends, I believe that this story has less to do with being bright and flashy like the world wants us to be. I think this story is more about just being with Jesus. For when we find Jesus in the pain and fear and beauty and tragedy of the world in which we live, friends, there is the blessing. There is the covenantal promise. Friends, beware the trappings of this world, and may you know the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand and sing together the next hymn found in our bulletin.
seated. As we focus on our friends and families and partners listed on the back of the bulletin, let us come together with our concerns unspoken as well as we join in this time of prayer. Sovereign God, you revealed your love and guidance for us on Mount Sinai and on the Mount of Transfiguration, giving us a vision of how to live in equity and peace. Trusting in your care for us, we bring to you our prayers. We pray for your church, that it may be the light of love for all people. We pray for the nations of the world, that their governors may be wise and compassionate. We pray for those who suffer illness or oppression, that our care for them may bring your healing and liberation. We pray for your creation, that we may be your wise and obedient stewards. We pray for all those who are in search of you, that they may walk with the lamp of your Spirit and be at peace in your light now and forever. Join together in Christ in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all majesty and honor are yours, Holy God, forever and ever. Hear us as we join together in the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our God has revealed to us a law and a love that leads us into becoming God's own daughters and sons. Therefore, let us gratefully give from that which was first given to us, our lives, our talents, and our possessions. Let us receive our morning offering. Thank you.
Let us pray. God of mountaintops and valleys, be our vision. Be our guidance on days both clouded and brilliantly clear. Today we faithfully add our gifts to those being given all around us. Bless these offerings that they may be transfigured into your presence in the world. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Friends, after service, you are invited to a time of fellowship downstairs, and I have two more Sundays left. So know that I love you, and know that I long in my heart that you may beware of the trappings of this world, that you turn to Christ for the transfiguration of your own life, and that you may know the goodness of God's grace. Friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.